Welcome back to Friends Bible Study. Today we'll look at John chapter 4, verses 43 to 54. Jesus heals an official's son. Please continue to read, write, share, and listen. These are the four parts of Friends Bible Study that we're asking you to do daily. One central purpose of Friends Bible Study is to equip every disciple with the Word of God. It says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, that all scripture is profitable to equip servants of God for every good work. So as we study and meditate on the Word of God, He will give us insights, tools, experiences, and growth in our love relationship with Him that we can use to serve God and others. A friend who is doing a friend's Bible study with us in the Gospel of John shared a recent experience. His niece is not a believer and has some anti-Christian views on various topics. A short time ago, however, she unexpectedly came to my friend's house for a short visit. One day they went on a drive. My friend has been sharing with his wife from his friend's Bible study meditations daily. He asked his niece if he could share about his time in the Word in the car. She said yes. She listened attentively as my friend shared from John chapter 1. She asked a few questions about what he had said. It seems that God is opening her heart to listen and to think about the gospel. I hear reports like this often, and I hope it's an encouragement to you all to meditate on God's word and to share it with your sharing partner and with anyone you have opportunity to share with. As we are equipped and grow strong in the Word of God, I believe that we will hear many more testimonies like this. Let's pray to prepare our hearts to hear the Word of the Lord. Father, we want to worship You in spirit and in truth as we come to You, Your Word. May we worship and honor You by seeking You, listening to You, believing You, obeying You. And may You be honored and receive glory through the sharing of Your Word. May the glory of Christ be revealed through the sharing of His word daily. During the past 2 weeks, we have studied the account of Jesus speaking with the Samaritan woman at the well. In this last session, we will look at the story of Jesus healing an official's son. Again, these verses are John 4, 43 to 54. Let's begin at verse 43. After 2 days, he went out from there and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. It says in John 4:3 that Jesus left Judea and went back to Galilee. Verse 43 explains that after spending 2 days in Samaria, he went into Galilee. It is clear from the other Gospels that Jesus being rejected as a prophet without honor in his own country refers to Nazareth and the area where he grew up. The people in Galilee wanted to see signs and wonders, but did not recognize Jesus as a prophet. Verse 45, so when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went to the feast. So Jesus had healed the sick and performed signs during the feast in Jerusalem. People had heard about this, and some probably witnessed them. Verse 46, Jesus came therefore again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water into wine. There was a certain nobleman, a royal official, whose son was sick at Capernaum. Jesus returned to Cana, which was in the district of Galilee, where he had turned water into wine. There was a royal official, probably an official in King Herod's court, whose son was sick in Capernaum. Capernaum was about 15 miles or 24 kilometers from Cana. Verse 47, when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and begged him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. perhaps this man's faith was stimulated by hearing that Jesus had turned the water into wine, or maybe he was there at the wedding. Maybe he thought, if Jesus can turn water into wine, he can heal my son. Through this story, we will see how he expressed his faith and how his faith grew. Verse 48, therefore Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will in no way believe. I think Jesus' words in verse 48 were not a rebuke, but a challenge to this royal official. Jesus was lamenting the lack of faith in the people in Judea and in Galilee. Many people were just interested in signs and wonders, as we saw in John chapter 2, but did not have genuine faith. I think Jesus was challenging this man to believe without seeing. The nobleman, the royal official, believed that Jesus could heal his son, but he assumed that Jesus had to go to Capernaum for his son to be healed. Sometimes we make assumptions about how God will work, but he usually works in ways that are outside of our box. If we rely on our own understanding, as it says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we will often be disappointed and our faith will waver. These verses say, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and don't rely on your own understanding. Faith means to trust him and to rely on him, even though we don't understand completely how he's going to do it. We read in John 2:23 that we talked about earlier this week. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. But we talked about the fact that Jesus didn't entrust himself to them because he knew what was in people. Why did Jesus say this to this man? I think Jesus was challenging him to believe before seeing signs and wonders. Jesus was trying to strengthen the royal official's faith. Verse 49, the nobleman, the royal official, said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. Faith is primarily faith is the primary way we respond to and experience God. In the Gospels, Jesus continually stressed the importance of having faith and believing. Simply put, he wants us to trust him and to walk with him step by step by faith. Faith is not just trying hard to believe or simply to hope something good will happen through the power of positive thinking. Faith is believing a person. Faith is believing what God has said to us. Jesus said to the nobleman, to the royal official, go your way, your son lives. The man had to choose to believe or not to believe the words Jesus had spoken. He did believe Jesus when he said, go your way, your son lives. He believed what Jesus said to him and went on his way. This is faith. Jesus also speaks to us. We must decide to believe what he says. He has spoken to us through his word, and he makes clear what he's saying to us personally through his spirit. Faith is a response to what God says to us. Faith is not conjuring up faith from within ourselves. God is the one who initiates faith and who inspires faith in us. Our job is to respond in faith when he speaks. Hebrews 12, verse 2 states that Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus is the source of our faith. We don't produce it. He produces faith in us by speaking to us and by giving us an understanding of his power and love. One translation says that Jesus initiates and perfects faith. The New King James translation says Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Faith is produced when we keep our eyes on Jesus, and he is the one who completes or brings to fruition what we are believing him for. Verse 51. As he was now going down, this is talking about the royal official, his servants met him and reported, saying, "Your child lives." So he inquired of them the hour when he began to get better. They said therefore to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at that hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." He believed, and his whole house. The royal official believed what Jesus said to him and headed home. His faith grew stronger when he learned that his son began to get better at the exact time Jesus had spoken the words, "Your son lives." God wants us to trust him. He wants us to live by faith. This means to trust him step by step in all that we do. When we trust God and have experiences of faith like this man, our faith grows stronger and stronger. This is not intellectual faith alone, but experiential faith. Our faith grows stronger as we experience God working in our everyday lives. The royal official's whole household came to faith. I have had friends in Asia whose entire family came to faith in Christ when God worked powerfully in their lives. There are several examples of this in the New Testament. Both the Samaritan woman and the royal official must have had made the heart of Jesus happy because they believed his words and acted on it. Of course, the royal official must have been overflowing with joy that his son was healed and that his whole family believed in Jesus. Finally, verse 54. This is again the second sign that Jesus did, having come out of Judea into Galilee. Why is this miracle called the second miracle, when obviously there were many other miracles and things that had been done by Jesus previously in Jerusalem, as written in John chapter 2 and in 4:45? Why is the formal miracle of changing water into wine at Cana mentioned? Clearly, this is John's way of telling us that we are to put the two miracles, changing the water into wine and the healing of the nobleman's son, side by side. In other words, we are to see them in relationship to each other and compare them. There are a number of similarities. Both miracles contain the initial rebuke to the one who requested it. In the first case, it was Mary, Jesus' mother. And in the second case, it was this nobleman, the royal official. In each case, Jesus performs a miracle at a distance, doing nothing but speaking a word. The servants possess unique knowledge of what happened in each story. The servants in John 2, who put the water into pots and took them to the master of ceremonies, and the royal official's servants, who reported and saw that his son was healed. Finally, each account concludes with a statement that the people who knew the miracle believed. In the story of the turning the water into wine, we are told that his disciples put their faith in him. In the second narrative, we are told that the father and all his household believed. It seems clear that Jesus was working in such a way to stimulate the faith of certain people in each story. In today's passage, the end result was that the royal official and his whole family believed in him. Believe Jesus. People hesitate to believe without seeing. They want to know and be able to logically explain why they believe. This is not all wrong, but as Jesus said in John 4:48, unless you people see miracles, miraculous signs and wonders, you will never believe. Jesus was scolding them for only believing what they see rather than trusting God, even though they don't see. If God is real, if he is our Father, then trusting him, even without seeing, is the most logical thing in the universe. Think about it. Our attempts to explain having faith are like taking a picture of the universe with a camera on a dark night. The point is this. God is the creator and the Lord of the universe, and he is our Father. This is the foundation of our faith. So where is your faith today? Do you only believe when you see and can explain it? Or are you willing to believe God even when you do not see with your physical eyes and cannot explain it with human logic? God wants us to trust him and not to rely on our own understanding. This is genuine faith. Thank you, Father, for your word again, and for that you're the author and finisher of our faith. You're the source of faith, and you want us to believe you. I pray that you would inspire our faith by speaking to us through your word every day, and that we may see your power and your grace and your mercy manifested in our own lives and in the lives of people around us. We pray, Lord, in your name. Amen.